Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big money
at Menards. Caroline William, D. Mace, Chase McCabe in today alongside Willie Donick. Brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 years or older and in Tennessee to bet. Titans in Minnesota taking on the Vikings. Tron Davenport from ESPN going to join us at 1 o'clock, so we'll get his report. I heard him this morning on Robbie and Rex Road, Willie. He's exploring Minneapolis and St. Paul, the Twin Cities. You've been there many times with the Predators, but I think I heard him say he's going to take in a Twins game tonight, so... Go over to Target Field.
That's something I haven't been able to do yet. There was one time I had a shot. It was an April game at Target Field, and the Predators were playing the Wild later that night, and I was like, I could go for a few innings and then come back, but I just didn't do it. It was a game day. I had this fear of getting stuck in traffic or something like that and not
getting back. Oh, so the Twins were playing a day game?
Yeah, that was my only window. I want to go to all the parks, and so that's one I haven't been to yet. So I heard good things. It looks really cool.
So I haven't been to that one.
I think I'd rather go in August than April.
Yeah. My first Major League Baseball game was at the Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodome.
Really?
Twins and Blue Jays.
There's another place I haven't and never got to go to.
Twins and Blue Jays. Probably 97, I want to say. Kirby Puckett, I think, had just retired.
Okay.
So, it was the Twins and the Jays. So I couldn't tell you anything about the game except I see it in my head of
I don't think those were powerful Twins teams back
No,
in the
but
day.
I think I mean who would have I mean
they
I,
had
I'm
a, they had a rough patch
there.
In between the Kirby Puckett era when they were winning a couple World Series, a famous World Series in 91.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about that one.
And when they came back around with Johan Santana and Justin Morneau and some of those guys. But they had some lean years in there.
Yeah, and then I saw him again in 2003. And so I saw a young Torrey Hunter and I think Poppy.
Yeah.
I saw a young Big Poppy there.
Poppy.
So they were playing the Tigers. So Jimmy Leland was managing the Tigers then. So
not one of the better moves of the Twins to not keep Big Poppy. They basically let him go, and the rest is history.
Yeah. But anyway, so the Titans will play the Vikings tomorrow. The question is Will Levis going to be available? He left practice yesterday, kind of like a thief in the night, kind of snuck off and went inside. Mike Vrabel actually brought it up when he was talking about reps for Levis, and that he left practice early, and then he was asked, well, if he's not available, could we see Ryan Tannehill? And Vrabel basically said, we'll let you know on Saturday. Tron Davenport, who will join us at 1, was also on Robbie and Rex Road this morning, kind of gave his thoughts on the Levis injury.
From what I understand, it's a lower body injury. I don't have any specifics on what it was. Paul Kaharsky had first found that out, and then I was able to confirm it. And they're basically going to see if he could go on Saturday, and if he can't, it looks like it's going to be the Malik Willis show, and this is a great opportunity for Willis to show that he could just have the operation of a full game down pat. There was a little bit of an issue yesterday in the one-minute period where, you know, he has to remember, you know, how things work after a dead ball foul, you know what I mean? So you got to remember that the clock starts on the ready, and you know, you can't get to delay a game like he did last Saturday. So Willis, for me, you know, it's just an opportunity just to show the operation. But obviously he has to go out there and make some plays, and I think he could do that. And just being able to get into a full rhythm, I think, will be really good as opposed to rotating series.
So that was Teron earlier this morning. And look, I think if Malik Willis plays the whole game and gets to do what Teron is saying, that's not a bad thing, because I do have him right now is the number two quarterback. I think he has had a better camp and he's played better than Will Levis overall, I don't think that's that big of a deal. You know, I wouldn't freak out if Will Levis is third on the depth chart to start the season. But I do worry about Levis not getting those reps if he's unable to go. And I also worry that if you go Malik Willis the whole game and don't have a backup, what happens if he gets hurt?
It does bring up a lot of questions. I think regardless what Teron said about Willis, he's going to play a lot. Regardless of how this plays out, he's going to play a lot against the Vikings. And he has to continue to grow. I do think it's getting to the point where I think if you polled everybody that's watched all the practices, they are going to lean the way you're leaning. If it were a decision today of who comes in, who is the backup, who comes in, Willis is going to get all the votes.
Sure.
He's taking advantage of having been through it for a year. That's what I'm seeing. To his credit, he's gotten better. And I just haven't seen Levis get a lot of momentum going. That's what's unfortunate about this injury. And so this is another question I have for you, Chase, is if you're Levis, how much do you try to push through, even if you're not 100%, to say, I really want to play. I want to get out there. I need to get out there. I mean, obviously he'll think that way, but how much will the team let him do it? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I of course I would have that mentality and would do that, but are they going to let him? Is it worth the risk? I think what I envision happening, unless we get an email here in a little bit from Robbie Boren saying the Titans have signed X quarterback, I would say what probably happens is the plan will be Willis will play the whole game, Levis will be the backup, and if he has to go in, he can, but they would prefer him not to. That's probably...
Would they even consider dressing Tannehill?
I don't think so.
And there's not physically another guy on the roster, right?
Like, no.
That's the other thing is, would you just sign a guy for a day to come out as an emergency guy?
Well, I made the joke this morning. Vrabel call up Tom Brady. Hey, Tommy, I need your help. Can you come back up Willis for a game?
Back up Willis for a game.
And Tommy's probably like, man, I'm drinking my avocado tequila on the golf course. Sorry, I can't help you, Vrabes.
You would, I mean, just from a logistical, operational standpoint, you would have to have a plan of who takes the snaps.
I mean, is it Kevin Byard?
If you only have one quarterback dressed. I don't know. Like, I wouldn't put Byard back there.
No.
No way.
No. I mean.
So who does it?
They have to, I mean, there's got to be some guy that they have identified that's played quarterback. I mean, because I look, here's who's available right now. Carson Wentz, no, you're not doing that. Matt Ryan, you're not doing that. Brady, I just joked about. Flacco, you're probably not doing that. Nick Foles, doubt it.
No, I mean, they're
Chase
not going to sign a guy for one.
Not right,
for
because
a game. None of those guys.
I've looked at a list of. There's a guy named Tim DeMorat. I don't know who that is. Maybe he's available.
Tim DeMorat. That just as easily could be your neighbor.
It could be.
Is that
Chris
Strebler? There's another guy.
Bryce Perkins. I mean, just go find somebody at the Mall of America. Like, hey, you want to earn, you want to earn like whatever a game check would be for a preseason game.
There was remember a long time ago. This is going to age me, but there was a famous author, George Plimpton, who actually went through training camp with the Lions and wrote a book. It was called Paper Lion. He went through training camp. He was just an author. And went through the drills and everything. I mean, you could think about something like that. But, yeah, I wonder. But are we – like, I think if I had asked you this question, Chase, in May, hey, Willis is gonna pretty handily beat out Levis. That's what's materializing.
I would not have thought that.
People would have – and I remember I got a lot of sarcastic – Jonathan Hutton was on with us one day, Caroline and D-Mace, and we were kicking this around. It was during one of the OTAs, I think, and I said, look, Malik Willis has been through this for a year. He should have an upper hand at the beginning. He's worked very hard in the off season. I said, is it possible that he takes advantage of that? And I got a lot of, nah, I don't think so. I'm not buying it. We just have this image of Willis last year struggling so much in the real games. But is it more that Willis is that much better or Levis really hasn't gotten going? I would say, too, this is the good and the
I'd
bad.
Say a little both.
This is the good and the bad of Levis being a second round pick. You see the first round picks getting everything's carved out for them. They're getting all of the reps. They're being almost forced in there. And that's the bad part is they are going into the fire and they could crash and burn. They could. But they're getting that opportunity. We talked to Tim Hasselbeck about this earlier this week. Will Levis is having to earn the reps, having to earn the chances, and now he's hurt. I mean, he's not getting any kind of preferential treatment, even though he was a second-round pick that they traded up for.
Right, and I like that strategy.
I like fine. It to a degree, but I think you could also make the argument, is he really getting a shot here? Is he really getting
the reps
that he really needs if you want him to be the guy down the road?
But they don't need him to get the shot right now. Like, he doesn't have to. He can be there in practice, and he can get whatever reps he can. He can learn from Tannehill, learn from Charles London and the coaching staff. So I don't think they're and I think that's why they're treating it this way. The problem is you have segments of the fan base that are looking at, yes, you traded up to make him the 33rd overall pick. And, oh, by the way, he was a first-round pick. I mean, he should be a first-round pick. You know, people are going to think that way. And so now you're just like, oh, well, if he's third on the depth chart or if he's hurt or whatever, it's a bust, it's a terrible pick, and you haven't even seen him play a down, you know, of a meaningful game. So I would pump the brakes a little bit on it, but at the same time, I think this is a great opportunity for Malik Willis because he has shown improvement. You know, do I think he's ever going to be a starter in this league? Probably not at this point, but – he's showing that he knows how that he's gotten better and he's listened to coaching. And so if he gets this and he plays the whole game tomorrow, I mean, good on him for earning the job.
Okay, well, let's come back on this, though. The question would be, if the entire season plays out, Tannehill is the starter and Willis is the backup and Levis is the third-string quarterback the entire year, what does that mean for next year?
Okay, let's do that. 615-737-1025. It's Chase and Willie today in for Caroline Shelby. On afternoons, hey, your favorite game, can't wait for this one, Silly Underdog Picks is back. Sign up today at thegamenashville.com or on the 1025 The Game app. Silly Underdog Picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket.
Has it looked like Will has gotten a lot of opportunity out here with, like, just kind of situations being that number three guy? How difficult is it to...
Well, he got the same amount of reps as Malik up until the 2 minute. I did 2 minute over here yesterday. So while Malik was going, Will did that, and the plans were to have him go today. But, you know, they took him in, and we'll see where he's at for the game on Saturday.
It was Mike Vrabel yesterday. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. Chase in for Caroline, and I guess D-Mace today.
I was actually listening to Vrabel live.
Yeah.
He kind of slipped that in there.
And, he did.
And most of the people that were... they're asking the questions, they did not realize, and I know Jared was one of them because he said it. I was listening after his advent. He did none of them really realized that he had gone off at the end of practice. And it does seem like Levis has gotten less reps. Even before yesterday, Vrabel is saying that they got the same amount of reps up until whatever happened to him happened.
They definitely didn't in the game.
Well, I was going to use that as part of my argument there. I do feel like they've always put Willis as the number two guy on the depth chart and Levis number three. And I have noticed that Willis is getting the reps before Levis gets the reps. It's not like they're alternating them at practice in the ones I've seen anyway. Maybe that's inaccurate, but I do think that they have started Willis in the inside lane, and he has stayed ahead.
Yeah.
Goes down to the trickiest thing about developing quarterbacks is what's the best way to develop a quarterback, especially if you've got a crowded situation. You got to get Tannehill ready for the season. You're trying to develop two guys to be the next guy.
Texter on the text line said, or Zeldy from, or no, Ricky, Love held a clipboard for a few seasons, didn't he, in Green Bay? Never even dressed the final year for sure, or first year for sure. I mean, yeah, it happens. And I kind of feel like you're seeing, you know, you still see teams that rush guys in. Like, I think Indy's rushing Richardson in. I think that's a mistake. I think Richardson is a guy that needs to hold the clipboard for a year and never sniff the field. I think Levis is in a good opportunity where Willis has surprised us all and played better, and then Tannehill's a starter, and so why not? You know, why not let him just sit and learn and not have to worry about it? I mean, I look at, like, Jake Locker set for a year. It still didn't work out. I think he should have set for another year because you had Matt Hasselbeck.
That is interesting going back on that, because I remember, and D-Mace made a great observation. He said next year they cannot bring Hasselbeck and Locker back because Hasselbeck has done well enough. Remember, they went 9-7. They had a pretty decent year. But they purposely, as D-Mace predicted, moved on from him so that it would clear the way for Locker. And they brought in Ryan Fitzpatrick, who was the quintessential backup placeholder. And, of course, he had to play because Locker couldn't stay healthy. But it was Locker is now the starter. There's only so much you can have a guy wait before you got to find out if he can play. I just do think it is going to be complicated. And in a way, that's a good thing. This will mean that Willis is in the running. He's gotten good enough to have people say, well, he deserves to continue to get chances here.
Well, and that
you can envision this going a lot of ways. You can envision a true quarterback competition next training camp.
Yeah, like if they decide that this is it for Tannehill and they're going to move on, I think right now today it is safe to say that it would be a quarterback competition between Willis and Levis.
Now, here's another hypothetical. Let's say Tannehill doesn't play all 17 games, and there are two or three games where the backup has to play, and Willis looks much better in year two, much more like a competent guy who understands it better. Now, he's got to prove this, right? We still have to see what it looks like in a real game, because last year he flashed some things in the preseason, right? He played almost the entire preseason, and there were some plays where we're like, wow, Malik Willis has got some tools. He's a long way, but he showed in the regular season when there are other layers to the game, there's more complex coverages, more pressure, that he just was not ready. And the playbook shrunk, the confidence shrunk. Is that going to really look a lot better this year? I would hope that it does, but that would be the wrinkle. If he earns the backup job, how much would that give him a leg up in the, quote, quarterback competition if they move on from Tannehill?
I think it would. I mean, I think it certainly would.
Because we at this point, Levis would be a total unknown.
Yeah.
Like we were biased.
Levis would be what Willis was last year.
Right. And see, we were biased, and admittedly so, I think it's natural, biased against Willis because he had crashed and burned last year. If he had never played last year.
Different conversation.
Very different conversation about how you would envision him. A lot of people wrote him off after last year, saying, "Yep, too bad they wasted a third round pick on that guy. He can't make it."
Fair to say,
it looked that bad for a while.
Fair to say, and now obviously it's a different general manager, but is it fair to say that if Willis had not played at all last year, that they would have even drafted Levis?
Well, see, that's another very interesting question,
because I don't think they would have.
I can't rule it out. But I don't think it would have been as much of a discussion leading up. It would have been a little bit of, well, let's see, there's a lot of quarterbacks out there. Would they try?
Yeah.
It would have been a different narrative. I grant you that.
On the question of, you know, what happens if Willis is the only quarterback dressed and he gets hurt, one texter says, just run the wishbone offense with a running back if Malik gets hurt in the preseason game.
Well, we saw the NFC Championship game where Christian McCaffrey was taking snaps, which is so crazy. Things happen in games.
Mo in Nashville says, Ronnie Bass is currently a fourth-string special teamer on the Titans preseason roster. His experience in college at quarterback, could he potentially be third-string? Sunshine!
Ronnie Bass, based on his tape that we saw, I think he could get you by in a pinch like that just for a couple quarters if you needed to.
Yeah. He can make the throw.
And we could see if we could recreate the play where you let the end come in, just let him come in unblocked, and he does the taekwondo move or whatever. Remember that?
Yep. That would be a good one. Coming up next, Ask Willie D. This should be good.
Okay, now, this is a total experimental segment here. Okay, we're not trying to steal D-Mace's thunder, but we're just going to experiment here. Does anybody want to ask me anything?
I do.
Okay, yeah. So there's one.
I do.
We got one. You have one?
I have questions.
Okay, we got two.
Do you have some dad jokes? It is Dad Joke Friday.
We can always pad it with Dad Joke Friday. I'm always up for that.
Yep.
615. You can throw in the Dad Joke Friday in there, but does anybody have a question for me? We used to do this with George a long time ago.
Ask the director.
Questions for your director. We had Ask the GM.
Yep.
Ask Floyd Reese, the late Floyd Reese, always filled up the phones. It's never happened on the show. I've been on the show for a long time. I've been on Sports Talk for a long time. We've never been Ask Willie. Now, it doesn't have to be a Preds question. It doesn't have to be a Vanderbilt question. You can. No question.
Sure.
No, there's no limitations. You can ask about 80s baseball trivia if you want, whatever you want. But I'm just curious what the listeners do here.
Okay. 615.
Do we get crickets?
I don't know.
Do we get crickets? Well, does this work, filling in the big shoes of Ask D-Mace?
I think you're going to get questions.
Or would it be better for Ask the Suit? Would that have been the better move, Ask the Suit, and not Ask Willie D?
I have no answers.
I have a load of questions for the both of you if we have to.
Okay. So if you want Nick to ask all the questions the rest of the hour, then don't call. But if you do have a question, we're just going to do this experimental segment and see how it goes.
615-737-1025. That is the phone line. Ask Willie D. That is next here on 102.5-106.3 The Game. Caroline Willie and D-Mace, Chase McCabe in today alongside Willie Donick. And since there's no D-Mace, Ask Willie D. That's what we're doing now.
Big shoes to fill.
615-737-1025. You can call. You can text. We got loaded lines on the phone, so let's get to the phones. How about that?
Let's do it. That's what this is about.
Let's start things off with George on a car phone. George, welcome in.
Now, what happened to Willie's hair?
Did Mahoney have something to do with that?
It's called Gene Pool. Our buddy Gene Pool. The jeans weren't kind, man. I remember one time, George, on a car phone, I went as a, I think I was in maybe 16, 17 years old. I was just a regular checkup with a doctor. And my dad was with me. And I said, you know, I'm just wondering, you know, about receding hairline or anything like that. And you guys, is there anything I can do about it? And the doctor said, you know what you can do about it? Punch your father. Because my dad also is follically challenged, shall we say.
Chase, we had a commercial one time when Willie and I were doing Vanderbilt games that he thought was hilarious, where a woman would say, is George's hair real?
And it played about five times per game. And it would bug George.
The first time
like,
I heard it, it just pissed me off.
So George Plaster is with us. And director, how do you feel about a segment called Ask Willie? Because it does feel very similar to Ask the Director.
Well, you know, I really can't see any difference at all. And I'm wondering if plagiarism is, you know, is it a penalty? Is it, you know, can we go to court with it?
Oh, it's a total ripoff. It's a total ripoff.
Yeah. What it really says is every once in a while in sports talk, you got to waste a little time.
Exactly. There's no new ideas.
But George, this call has ensured that this will not be a waste of time. This is broadcast excellence right here.
Honestly, it isn't.
All right, let's get scooped, though. Will you be back for another season of Silly Underdog Picks?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, breaking news.
Yes.
There's nothing quite as exciting as being mathematically eliminated by Halloween.
Well, okay. I'm setting the over-under of Bookets at 4.5.
Yeah, why not?
That's about a safe bet.
So y'all want a little scoop?
Yes.
I went to Atlanta Monday night to see the Braves and the Yankees. And David Cutcliffe, who is a huge Braves fan, met me. He lives in Birmingham. And so Jeff Francoeur worked it out where we would go up to the booth ahead of time. And John Smoltz peppered I mean, absolutely peppered Cutcliffe, 45 minutes worth of football questions. And so, Willie, then Mark DeRosa comes in. He's doing the game on MLB.
That's right, with Bob Costas.
And he asked Cutcliffe, you know, what's the amount of time, you know, that, you know, the quarterback has before he's got to get rid of the ball. Cutcliffe's telling him something to the effect of 2.5 seconds. And DeRosa says, "Who?" And by the way, DeRosa was a quarterback at Penn.
Right.
And he said, well, he said, the Ivy League, not as good an athlete, so make it 3.5.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. What a room to be in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the our Braves, they're raking right now, George.
Oh, they're kicking butt, but the problem is so are the Dodgers.
I know. Yeah, I know. That's going to be the matchup, I would say. Hey, appreciate you.
Like two superpowers.
I know. Agreed. Appreciate you calling in, and we will talk to you next week for Silly Underdog Picks.
Yeah, I'm glad I could make this Ask Willie thing so successful.
Oh, you have gotten this off to a brilliant start.
I'm glad to hear that.
It's your gift to the people.
Absolutely, because yes. The others don't work worth a damn.
See ya.
See y'all later.
George Plaster. Ask Willie D. There you go. George
got it started.
George on a car phone. All right, let's go to the phones. BJ with a dad joke and a question. BJ, what's up?
First off, I got a little dad joke for you. My daughter gave it to me. She's 9. She gave it to me this morning. She says, Dad, why did the Scarecrow get an award?
Why?
Because he's outstanding in his field.
Yes. That's good.
Well done.
And then I got another. I do have a question. So this quarterback competition for the backup, at what point, at say the end of preseason, if it's still even or even if it's still close, like at what point, how do you call who's the backup? Who do you put in? How do you make that decision if they've played evenly throughout preseason? Do you go with Levis because he's newer and Willis has had longer time to learn and Levis is obviously a little step ahead than he was last year?
I think, BJ, you're asking a question that will be a big question after the third preseason game. But right now, if we had to make that call, it does look like it's Willis right now. And it just by... he has outplayed Levis to this point. Now, that doesn't mean that Levis couldn't make a comeback, but this injury throws a little curveball at us as well. If he doesn't play at all this weekend, which looks like there's a chance, then this is an opportunity for Willis to widen the gap towards that.
What's going to be funny is if this is just a swerve and he's fine and they announce and that Levis is starting.
Well, and I do wonder if Willis plays the whole game Saturday, do they give Levis a chance to play – maybe not the whole game, but a huge amount of the game in the last game. Yeah, I wonder.
I don't know. That's a good question. 615-737-1025. Let's go to Tim. Tim, welcome in.
Hey, guys. Enjoy the show. Willie, I'm a big Vanderbilt fan. My dad worked in the gym for 38 years, and so you probably know my dad, Jerry. He did the maintenance and stuff inside the gym.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. My deal is you're taking – Will Levis, right now, he's probably not as far as what Malik was last year at this time. And my other point is, why would you want to draft a quarterback, move up to drafting, that Vanderbilt made look like an idiot? I mean, Vanderbilt made him look bad.
Yes.
That's all I think about. And I say that, and half joking and half not. If he could, and Vanderbilt's defense, you put a good quarterback in there against us last year, and they ripped us. They ripped us up. And, I mean, you look at what Georgia did, what Tennessee did, and Levis is supposed to be better than some of those quarterbacks?
It's a question that's come up. Jeff, thank you for the call. I do think this is a dynamic that we have seen. Oh, did I say Jeff? Sorry. Thank you, Tim. I have seen a lot of this from Tennessee fans and Vanderbilt fans, just sort of recency bias. They saw Levis struggle. And they think that means he's not good. But the surrounding cast, there were other circumstances. If you had never seen Will Levis play in college, I don't think you'd feel that way. You wouldn't have the doubts that you have. And I will also say this. I'll tie it into Vanderbilt basketball since he brought that up. A good friend of mine and teammate, Ronnie McMahon, I was 2 years older than him, right? So my junior year, I had played sparingly my freshman year and sophomore year. Played more my sophomore year than I did my freshman year, and I really thought I had a chance to win a starting job. Ronnie was a freshman, high regarded, and I clearly had an advantage over him in the preseason because I'd been there for so long. And he's still learning the college game. He's learning to make the adjustments from high school ball to college ball. But if you just watched us play in practice day in and day out, you'd say, well, Donick, he should be starting over McMahon. But the coaches also knew that Ronnie had a lot of ability and he was tracking to have a very high ceiling, which he did. I mean, if you look at the greatest scorers in Vanderbilt history, he's up there. He's in the top 10. I'm in the 100-point club, right? But I'm just all that to say is where they are today, Levis and Willis, isn't necessarily where they're going to be. I really do believe that Willis had and is taking advantage of the fact that he is a year up on him, that he's gone through this entire process, and he's got a lot more experience under his belt, relatively speaking, than Levis does. So I'm not ready to write Levis off by any stretch.
It shows you the work that Malik has put in, and it shows you, I think, how good the coaching is in the NFL that, you know, you can take that time and help a guy develop. And, you know, I don't know how much of that is on Charles London, but I do feel like that's got to be a part of this too, because I think that's why you bring him in here, because he's known for helping to develop quarterbacks. Yeah. And so, you know.
And you do have to project.
Yes.
Like our coaches did, and I didn't like it, right? I was thinking, hey, I've outplayed this guy. I should be starting day one. But the coaches do have to say, okay, where do we see these two guys in a month, in 3 months, in a year, in 2 years? That is part of this, right? And I don't know what they see with Willis and Levis when they look into that crystal ball.
Yeah, I don't know either. 615-737-1025. We'll continue with your calls and your texts. Ask Willie D next here on Caroline, Willie, and D. Mace, 1025, 1063 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick in today. Caroline will be a part of Stillman & Company with Adam Vingan. Ask Willie D., taking your calls and your texts right now, 615-737-1025. Let's go back to the phones. I think this is Nate. Nate, welcome in.
What's up, guys? How's it going this afternoon?
It's good. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to y'all, too. So, Willie, I've got two questions for you. I'm going to hit you with them and then get off the phone and listen.
Bring it on.
Do you, like Paul Kuharsky, have an alter ego, Negative Willie? and it's not an if question. This is a when question. When you denounce your Mets loyalty, what team are you moving to?
These are very good questions.
Very,
thanks, Nate.
Very hard-hitting questions. Nate has put some good thought into this. I will not denounce the Mets. I am just sadly pinned to them for a long time, forever. But I would have to fall back into the Red Sox, probably because family ties. They're a strong – I married into a Red Sox – diehard group, so they're not going anywhere. So right. I think that would be a natural fit there. Do I have an alter ego, Negative Willie? What do you think the answer to that question is, Chase?
Hell no. you are Mr. Glass Half Full, and I gotta see it and all those things. I mean, no, I don't think so. I don't really think
now,
Paul has positive Paul. I think Paul is who Paul is.
And I think that's how you should be when you're on the radio. You should be yourself. I don't think, and I do think there are people out there that sort of have this shtick. They go into character for the purposes of being that person on the air, and that's not really how they are off the air. I would like to think that I'm pretty much the same person
now,
on or off the air. Now, when I'm sitting there and watching a game, do I have a lot of negative thoughts? This isn't working. They're going to lose. Like, I have those natural things too, but I try to be overcome by the positivity.
So I,
but I get mad and throw stuff and curse the TV.
Oh, you get into it now.
Oh yeah,
you probably
I was caught on video. There was a Predator game right last year that we weren't doing, so I was just watching at home, and my son, we were watching the game together, so he secretly filmed me watching the final seconds of the game, and I'm yelling and screaming at the TV, and there was the SEC tournament game. We were in L.A. and Lindsey Rowley was sitting next to me, and yep. I think it was Hal or Mace that started filming me yelling at the TV when Vanderbilt was playing Kentucky. Yep. We were at the sports bar, and there were a bunch of Kentucky fans around. There's Kentucky fans everywhere, anywhere you go, even in L.A., and people are thinking, who's this crazy guy actually watching the Vanderbilt, watching Vanderbilt?
One of my favorite moments with you that I don't think you remember, I was still an intern, and I had come in to do a Preds game, to help with the Preds game, and you were still doing pre- and post-game. And we're sitting in this studio. It's against the Dallas Stars, and the Preds score late, I think, to win the game. And you like jump up out of the chair and go, "Stick it up your bleep, Dallas."
I'm not going to confirm or deny that happened.
And because I had never seen that side of you, and I just remember laughing to myself. And Ryan Porth and I were telling that story. So I guess I wasn't an intern because Ryan was here. But, yeah, that was a good one for sure. All right, back to the phones.
That would be very unprofessional of me if I did that.
Get as many in as we possibly can. Is this Justin?
Some people keep going in and out. They close off and they
– Justin, welcome in.
This is Lyman Justin. Listen, I am tired of all these Tennessee fans, Vanderbilt fans, calling in about Will Levis. In 2021, he about lit Tennessee up. Tennessee had to come back late to beat Kentucky at Kentucky. Last year, our offensive line was terrible. But all these Tennessee fans and Vandy fans are always on him, and I'm sick and tired of it. He's going to be a pro. Call me in 4 years when the stadium's built and we win the Super Bowl and Will Levis is behind center. Bye.
All right. There we go.
This is the thing.
I know it is.
I'm sure you're getting it on your show, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's
called anecdotal, right? If you've watched somebody struggle, you are biased from that background, even though it really doesn't play into as much as you think what it's going to be down the road. People would have been very – imagine if the Titans had drafted Jay Cutler over Vince Young.
Oh, man.
And the backlash you could have gotten initially, but as it turned out, Jay Cutler ended up being a better NFL quarterback for longer than Matt Leinart and Vince Young, the three guys that we debated ad nauseum.
Well, and here's the thing about that, and this is what's happening with Levis. It's the SEC and the fact that you're in SEC country.
Yes.
Because a lot
you're
of
in
the
fishbowl.
A lot of the Levis haters are either Vols fans or other SEC fans, and then the ones that are like, I don't understand – you know, why people are hating on Levis are going, it's the Vol, you know, or blaming the Vols fans, and whether that's true or not, but that you're seeing that SEC come out in this when, you know, now it's just he's a rookie quarterback in the NFL. 7371025. Let's go to Bill. Bill, welcome in.
Okay, Justin, you said it yourself, buddy. Kentucky got boat raced last year and they lost the year before that with Will Levis under center. So eat that, Wildcat. My question is, sorry, he got me riled up.
Go ahead. That was great.
My question is, with talking about evaluating the backup quarterback, does Rand Carthon have input into that?
All right. Thanks for the call.
I think he absolutely does, and I think the next question that I think a lot of people is, because Rand Carthon drafted Will Levis and did not draft Malik Willis, how does that manifest itself? I think it's a fair question to answer. It's a natural question to have. I think Rand Carthon will try to be as objective as he can. He wants to win. Like, that's the ultimate thing. But I think that's always something. This segment is somewhat about me, my experience as a minor league baseball player. I can absolutely tell you that a 25th round pick, which I was not getting the same love and attention on the fields as the second round pick.
Sure.
Right? When I first got to Medicine Hat, Alberta to play, I was the starting first baseman for about the first 2 weeks. And I was not tearing it up at all, but lo and behold, the second round pick from the same draft gets signed. It just took him a little longer to get signed. He got a big bonus, $250,000 or something like that. Guess who was the starting first baseman?
The second round pick.
Oh, yeah. And he got way more chances to fail than I did. I had to find another way on the field. I ended up playing outfield more. But it just stands to reason. Like, the bigger the investment, it's just natural sometimes. And you have to fight that, I think. But that is the collaboration, there's no question Rand Carthon will have a say. Right? But Mike Vrabel, when the game starts, will have input as well.
And the other part of that is to what you said about that Carthon didn't draft Willis, but he did draft Levis. Vrabel still had his hands in both. Because if Vrabel didn't want Malik Willis, like, I don't think he would still be here. Like, because Vrabel can make it very clear when he's not in on a guy. And the fact that Willis was listed as the number two, and you can say, well, it's the veteran, you know, he's got 1 year of experience, whatever. If he felt Levis should be the backup, then it would already be said and done. He's making this a true competition. So that's what I read into this. 615-737-1025. Any texts that stand out?
I got one from Jeff in Kingston Springs. Do I still have my community high school travel mug from the fundraising golf tournament back in the day? My wife, Erin, used to work for community high before she moved over to Stars. It's funny Jeff mentions that. My parents have two that I just visited when I was on vacation. They have two that are in pristine condition. This would have been from like 2006, 2007. And Jeff, it's funny because we do not have them in our house anymore. We wore them out. But my parents have them in good mint condition, so I was glad to see that they still are surviving. Apparently, Jeff has one as well.
Texter says, Willie and Chase, could you explain the Stonehenge? Well, it was a song by a band named Spinal Tap.
I was thinking the same thing. that was going to be Stole My Line. It is a brilliant part of the movie Spinal Tap.
I freaking love that. Like, they think they're getting these giant statues, and they're like tiny little. And they're just like looking at them. I love that part. Of the movie. Classic.
We have had a couple questions about Bally, and you know, it's not a secret the situation that Bally's in, and a number of teams across three sports that are carried by Bally. Are the games going to be on Bally? The answer is yes, we're going to be on Bally. You know, the Braves, we're affiliated with the same regional outfit that the Braves are. In fact, we're going to be going to Atlanta next week. The Braves' success, obviously, they're thriving. So there are different teams that are being affected differently by this, and it is definitely something to watch over the next 5-10 years. Hopefully it all works out, but in the meantime, yes, the games will be on Bally this year.
Yes, they will, for sure. Single game tickets on sale now for the Predators, so be sure to check that out. Coming up next, Teron Davenport, Titans NFL Nation reporter from ESPN. We'll check in with him. He is in Minnesota right now. Get his thoughts on the things we've been talking about here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.